Chapter 15.
What the fuck do we do now?
Becca asked as she looked around the battlefield.
How are we possibly going to clean all these bodies up before Naomi's illusion spell wears off?
I know a guy. Anybody willing to lend me their cell phone?
Sure,
Leah said as she pulled out her device and handed it to me.
Just promise me you're not going to look up anything weird with it.
No promises. I winked as I punched in the number for Ada. Besides, if I recall correctly, this device already has plenty of lewd pictures saved in it. I could sense Leah's heartbeat intensify as her face turned as red as Janine's hair, and she let out a little giggle. Meanwhile, I held the phone up to my ear and heard it ring 3 times before Ada's voice appeared on the other end.
What is it, love?
Ada asked.
Is everything all right?
It's me, actually, I said to the succubus. We've got a bit of a situation out here at Mr. Bartram's house.
A situation? What kind of a situation, dare I ask?
We got attacked. We're all okay, though. There's just a whole lot of bodies lying around out here that I'm sure Mr. Bartram's neighbors don't want to see.
Attacked? By the OLG?
Worse. Keck and the Ancient Order of the Nile.
You know, for people who claim they only have a few radical members that want to kill us, they've sure sent a lot of people.
Don't worry about the AON. I'll take care of them soon enough. But right now, we need to make sure Mr. Bartram's house and the surrounding areas are cleaned up and free of dead bodies.
I'll contact the cleaner right away. And Carter, please hurry back, okay?
Okay. I trailed off with a frown. We'll head right back to Cincy's Jewel before we do anything else. Is there something going on over there, Ada?
Oh, no, love. I just want to see you, that's all.
Even though Ada was playing it coy as usual, I could sense there was something off. I could hear it in the way her voice trembled, as well as the cautious, overly sentimental way she was talking. But I wanted to ask her what was wrong face to face. You will see me very soon. I hung up the phone and then handed it back to Leah, who slid it back into her jeans. Meanwhile, all the members of the Brotherhood were holding out their hands toward the field of grass, which was now glowing with a bright green shimmer. Slowly but surely, the giant blades of grass returned to their normal forms, while the broken thicket of branches that had surrounded the Bartram house shrunk and returned to their place as regular old trees. Unfortunately, all of the trees had suffered some massive damage from Ashdal Khan's vortex breath, and several of them were missing entire branches and giant chunks of their bark. It looked like they'd been through a frickin' tornado. As the area around the house returned to normal, I was taken aback by just how much of a mess we had made. Not only was the headless body of Ashdal Khan laying there in a giant pool of blood, but there were bodies scattered all over the place, in various states of dismemberment. Some of them had been literally ripped in two, while others appeared to have been strangled and stabbed. A few members of the AON had their innards torn from their bodies, and I couldn't help but shudder at the sight of it all. Valerie, though, cleared her throat and puffed out her yellow chest proudly.
Big mess. Lots of spilled guts. Sheesh.
Naomi whistled.
And I thought I was supposed to be the bloodthirsty one.
No, Naomi. You're the sarcastic, drunken one.
I'll take it.
The witch shrugged. As macabre as the landscape around us might have been, it was the sight of victory, and that made me swell with pride.
What about Keck?
Janine asked as her demeanor changed.
He's not going to be very happy we killed his other right-hand man.
Well, then maybe he should stop sending them to try and kill us. That would solve the problem real quick.
Seriously? What exactly does he expect at this point? He expects one of his secret weapons to finally complete the job.
Well, he's sorely mistaken. He can keep sending them until the end of time, but none of them stand a fucking chance against us.
I hope so,
the redhead said with a frown.
Though now I'm beginning to wonder what kind of desperate move he'll make once he's run out of followers.
Probably jack shit. Just like Khonsu, he'll probably run off crying to another god and ask for their help. Then we'll kill all of their minions, and that god will run off to another one. It's a vicious cycle.
One thing is for sure, I said in a somber tone as I turned to Becca and her father. It's not safe here anymore. Even if we somehow get a protection spell around you guys, Keck and Khonsu know where you live, and they know you are in league with us now.
Our home isn't safe?
Becca echoed as tears filled her eyes.
This was the house I grew up in.
I know that, I frowned. It's not like you have to destroy it or anything. It's still your home, Becca. Your father just can't live here until Khonsu and Keck are gone. It's too dangerous.
You probably shouldn't go back to your dorm if you can avoid it either. The OLG tried to ambush Carter and I inside my dorm room, and we just barely escaped with our lives.
Where will we go then? Boyd asked with sad eyes. I don't have the money to just go and buy a new house. I'm a carpenter, for God's sake. I wouldn't dream of asking you to go buy a new home. I chuckled and then shook my head. You can come live with us at Ada's place. She's got plenty of room. Plus, it would keep you close to us so we can protect you.
Oh, I couldn't impose like that.
Mr. Bartram shook his head.
Perhaps we can find a nice hotel, or...
Don't be stubborn about this, Boyd, I argued. Ada might not have a ton of extra bedrooms, but I'm sure we can convert one of the many, many rooms she has into a place for you to stay. You and Becca can stay with us until this thing is finished, and that's final. Okay?
It's actually pretty nice. I live there now, and it's a million times better than my dorm. Plus, it's only a few miles away from campus, so Becca can keep going to school without worrying about gas or anything like that. That still feels strange,
Becca said as she bit her lip.
But I suppose it would be nice to live with you, and Janine, Naomi, and Val as well. It would be like having a super long sleepover.
I tried to hold back the thoughts of a sleepover featuring the three friends, all of them in their skin-tight pajamas and playing sexy fun games like pillow fighting or spin the bottle. As hard as I tried, though, the thoughts flitted through my head, and it took every ounce of my willpower to keep from getting an erection.
Even better! It'll be like we're roomies again!
Cap. On. Toothpaste.
Val suddenly grumbled, and we all looked over at the giant turtle with confused expressions. Valerie stood there with her stubby arms crossed over her chest and a scowl planted on her beak. She stared at Becca intensely, and the platinum-haired woman just gave the monster a playful wave.
Are you really still on about that? It was 2 years ago at a sleepover, Val.
Cap on toothpaste,
the were-turtle huffed.
Toothpaste get crusty if you forget.
Suddenly it dawned on me what she was saying, and I let out a loud guffaw as I shook my head back and forth in disbelief. Even though she was currently a giant tank of a were-turtle, Valerie's mother-like personality was still in there, and she couldn't help but scold Becca about leaving the cap off the toothpaste tube forever ago.
I promise I'll keep the cap on the toothpaste.
Becca placed her hand over her heart and raised the other in the air as she made a scout's promise.
Just for you, Val. This is so exciting!
Leah grinned from ear to ear.
We can carpool to work and school every day. We can hang out late at night doing each other's hair. Hell, we could even get plastered and sing karaoke at 4 a.m. if we wanted to.
Maybe not that one. I don't think Ada would appreciate getting woken up during her precious few hours of sleep.
Ada?
Naomi mused.
If I get woken up at 5 a.m. by a bunch of drunken sorority girls singing Since You've Been Gone, I'm gonna march down there and smash the karaoke machine with a baseball bat.
We're not in a sorority.
Becca stuck out her tongue.
They thought we were too cool for them.
So, you didn't get accepted?
The witch raised an eyebrow.
No. They didn't want any of us because they realized we were overqualified. Val and Leah both got letters explaining why we didn't get in.
Leah and the were-turtle exchanged a knowing glance, though Naomi just tilted her head to the side and pressed on.
You didn't get a rejection letter? That's kind of weird, if you ask me.
It's standard practice!
Leah interjected, and I could sense by her increased pulse that she was lying.
It's best not to dwell on it. We didn't really want to be Deltas anyway. Yeah! Now we get to all create our own little sorority experience together.
Even though Becca seemed to be completely on board with moving in with us, Boyd still looked a bit skeptical. You know, I said to the old man in the frock coat, it's actually a lot safer for your house if you don't stay here. Think about it, Boyd. If Keck and Kanzu keep coming after you, there's a chance you'll get this level of damage every single time. Before long, your whole place would be destroyed. But if you're living with us, in a place that is protected by one of Naomi's hexes, they'll have no reason to come after you or your home.
I suppose you're right. It will just take some getting used to, that's all. I haven't lived with anybody other than my Becca Bell since her mother left us.
Like I said, it's not a permanent move. Think of it as protecting your assets.
All right, Boyd said with a faint smile. I will graciously accept your offer, Carter Hatfield. Thank you.
Ah, excellent. I clapped my hands together. Now, let's get the fuck out of here before the cleaner shows up. Believe it or not, I'm pretty bad with gore and shit, and I hear he does things to these bodies that would make even the most grizzled veteran of war feel queasy.
What about us?
Carl asked with a raised hand. You guys can all go home. Your work here is much appreciated, my new allies, and I'm sure I will need you again in the future.
But, what about our homes?
The man asked with a bit of a trembling voice.
Are we in danger, too?
You'll be safe. You all came from pretty far away, so I doubt Kak and Kanzu know where you live. Your homes aren't compromised yet, so let's keep it that way.
Also, we don't really care about you all. Becca and Mr. Bartram here are the only ones we're close to, so they'd be the ones our enemies attack first.
Ouch. Carl raised his hands and chuckled. But whatever. I can't believe I'm saying this, but... it was an honor to fight by your side, Carter Hatfield.
The pleasure was all mine, I said with a bow. The Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus seems like a wonderful organization, and I look forward to the next time we meet.
I just hope it's not quite as eventful. Until next time, Mr. Hatfield.
Carl and the rest of the members of the Brotherhood gingerly stepped over bodies and puddles of blood, until finally, they found their way down to the street and began to head toward their vehicles. Soon, their engines roared to life, and they all headed off down the street.
What the hell do we do with their vehicles?
Naomi asked, as she gestured to the dead bodies on the ground.
They're kind of just parked out in the middle of the street.
We move them off the street and onto the sidewalks for now. Then we let the cleaner take care of it.
When you say we...
I mean me, Val, and Naomi. I'm not making you or Janine or Leah lift a heavy car. Now, time is of the essence here, so let's get a move on it. Val walked over to the Jeep and one of the fallen AON members, rubbed her hands together like an excited child, and grabbed it around both sides of its hood. The were-turtle didn't even flinch as she picked up the 3,000-pound vehicle and then tossed it like a toddler tossing a toy, right into the grass. Naomi took the typical witch's approach, and she simply used her telekinetic lunar magic to lift up the vehicles one by one, and then move them off the street. She seemed to struggle with the heavier trucks, though she was able to stand her ground and move them out of the way. Even though I wasn't in my werepanther form any longer, I still had enhanced strength that made me stronger than any normal human. So I positioned myself behind one of the trunks, grabbed onto its rear bumper, and then lifted it slightly off the ground. Once it was just on its front wheels, I pushed it forward like a wheelbarrow and got it off the road. It only took us a few minutes to remove all the AON cars, and then we headed back to the rest of the crew.
There! Now we can head out. Becca, do you know where you're going?
Carter.
Becca scoffed with a sly grin.
I'm at Cincy's Jewel almost every night. Of course I know how to get there. Come on, Daddy, I'll ride in your car with you.
We'll meet you there, Boyd said as his eyes looked into my soul. Please, don't run into Keck again while you're driving. I'm not sure my heart can handle another monster attack, with its cholesterol and blood pressure the way it is and all.
I think we'll be fine.
Wait,
Val gasped.
Clothes.
Oh, yeah,
I said as I slapped my forehead and sighed. She needs her clothes before we leave. They're down in the basement.
I've got you, girl.
Becca shot Valerie finger guns before she dashed toward the house, and her platinum blonde ponytail bounced playfully to and fro as she ran. After Becca returned with the clothes, I helped Val transform back, and once she was dressed, we were ready to go. So my friends and I all headed down to our vehicles, which were still parked in Mr. Bartram's driveway. Naomi and I got into my green Lambo, while Janine and Val jumped into the redhead's new Ferrari. Meanwhile, Leah returned to the old Grand Prix, and Mr. Bartram and Becca went into the garage for their own vehicle. The garage door popped open with the clinking of metallic chains, and then we all watched with amusement as the pair pulled out in a white 1996 Ford Taurus.
Huh. For some reason, I pictured Becca's dad as a Prius kind of guy.
Nah, I think it makes sense. He probably hasn't bought a new car in almost 30 years because he thinks it's bad for the environment or wasteful or something like that. It fits Mr. Bartram's personality perfectly.
Ugh, I don't even want to think about what sort of gas mileage it gets.
The witch shuddered. Why do you care? You don't even drive.
I could if I wanted to.
Naomi giggled and dramatically flicked a strand of red and black hair over her shoulder.
I just prefer to be chauffeured around like the goddess I am.
We all pulled out of the driveway as carefully as we could, and then we made our way down the streets of the suburb back toward our home. I couldn't help but laugh at the strange caravan we had going here, though I suppose that it only helped us to blend in with our surroundings, or at least as much as somebody could blend in driving around in two flashy sports cars. Eventually, once we got into the city and my driving turned to autopilot, my thoughts went back to my new powers. Random question for you, Naomi. I began to ponder aloud. Have you ever seen purple magic before?
A few times,
the woman admitted as she brushed a red and black lock out of her eyes.
I never really paid it that much attention since it wasn't lunar-based, though. Why do you ask?
Because I have it now. After I killed Ashdel Khan, one of the surviving cultists tried to attack us. He was too far away for me to get to in time, but my hand glowed purple, and I threw some sort of energy blade at him, on pure instinct. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell happened.
You used extension magic,
Naomi said with a smirk.
That's what happened. You created a projectile from something that is normally a melee attack, hence you extended the reach of your blow.
Can I do that with other attacks? I asked, and my mind raced with all the possibilities of what could be done with such a power.
Is there something else you're looking to extend? Because I don't think it works like that.
Get your mind out of the gutter. I'm talking about, like, my biting attacks or a headbutt or something like that.
I don't see why not.
The witch shrugged.
I've only ever seen it used from the hands, though I suppose if you concentrated hard enough, you might be able to make it come out of your feet or your head. All I know is that its range is pretty limited.
How limited?
I don't have an exact number, but I know it's fairly short. Oh, have you ever, played Street Fighter before?
Of course I have. I tore up the arcade as a kid with that shit.
It's like a Shoryuken or a Sonic Boom attack. It'll shoot out a few feet, but don't expect to be sniping anybody from across the battlefield.
Hey, I'll take it. I nodded. Anything to give me a little bit more reach. I'm kind of jealous that you, Leah, and Becca can all attack from afar, while I've got to get right up close and personal to do any damage.
You don't need more reach, Carter. You can reach every part of my body right now just fine.
I shook my head at the overt flirtiness of the witch, but I kept my eyes on the road the whole time. And we continued driving until, finally, we pulled into the back of Cincy's Jewel. Paul was sitting there in the booth with his trusty Sudoku puzzle book in his hand, and he drew away on the pages with his pencil. When he saw our vehicles approaching, though, he rolled his eyes and set the book down on the desk.
"Didn't you rich boys learn your lesson last time?"
he asked as I pulled up to the booth.
"You're not getting in, period."
"Oh, really?" I teased as I rolled down my window and smiled. "You can't bend the rules just this one time."
"Holy shit,"
Paul said as a half-smirk rose up the left side of his face.
"Nice car, boss."
"Thanks. Janine got one, too. We figured that if our lounge was going to be the talk of the town, then we needed to be driving around in something better than a Hummer and a Grand Prix."
"If I mention I'm due for a bonus soon?"
the old man asked in a completely serious tone, and I couldn't tell if he was joking or not. Keep up the good work, and then we'll talk."
"Right."
Paul nodded as he pushed the button to open up the gate.
"I'll take one of those babies in black if you don't want to fork out the cash for a raise. Consider it my bonus for the year."
"I'll think about it. Especially after you made those douchebag frat boys shit themselves with fear earlier. That alone is worthy of a raise. But you do know that if I give you a raise, I'll have to give one to Tony, too."
"Ah, it'll be our little secret,"
Paul said with a wink, but I just rolled my eyes and gestured to the Ford Taurus behind us. That's Becca's father, by the way. He's staying with us now, so he gets the same VIP experience all our other friends do.
"You're the boss."
The old man shrugged as he waved us on through. My friends and I parked our new vehicles in their designated spots, and then we got out and convened at the back door of the lounge.
"This is where you live?"
Mr. Bartram asked as he walked up to the group.
"In a nightclub."
"A lounge, Daddy. Val hasn't spent all that time branding it just for people to call it the wrong name."
"It's all right. It's easy to confuse the two, but we don't live here. We're just stopping by to talk to Ada for a bit."
"Oh, thank goodness," Boyd said as he wiped his brow. "That would be quite strange. What was I even thinking, living in a lounge?"
"We actually live at Ada's club,"
Janine explained, and her lips twitched as she fought back a smile.
"On the top floor."
"Oh."
Mr. Bartram's face fell, though I could tell he was curious about our living situation. The top floor's been converted into living quarters. There's a shower, a living room, a kitchen, several bedrooms, everything you could possibly need.
"It's very nice, actually. It makes our dorms at UC look like they're poverty housing."
"Oh, that's good to hear. Not that the dorms are bad, but that Ada's club is a nice place to live. It will be quite the adjustment, though, that's for sure."
"It'll be okay, Daddy,"
Becca promised her father.
"Carter and the others will be there, too, and they'd never put us in a situation where we felt uncomfortable or unwanted."
"Never. When you're here, you're family."
"Please tell me you didn't just rip off Olive Garden."
"Not intentionally. I'm just trying to make our friends feel welcome." I punched in the code on the security system, and then I held open the door for everyone to enter. We moved through the back-of-house area of the lounge until we came to the small room that acted as our makeshift boardroom. And as I walked into the space, I saw Ada sitting behind the head of the table, with her stiletto-heeled leather boots propped up on the mahogany wood as she leaned back in her chair. When the succubus heard us enter, she leaned forward as a toothy grin spread across her face, and her emerald-green eyes lit up with joy.
"I was starting to wonder if you were ever going to show up. I've been sitting here waiting to make a dramatic entrance for nearly an hour."
"Sorry to keep you waiting," I teased as I walked over and sat down in one of the chairs.
"How is this a dramatic entrance? You were already in here when we came in."
I grew tired of waiting.
The succubus shrugged nonchalantly.
So I sat down and figured I'd go more for a dramatic waiting.
Right. I smirked, and then I pointed to Becca's father. Ada, this is Boyd Bartram, Becca's dad, and one of the members of the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus.
Lovely to meet you,
Ada said with a slight bow.
Your daughter is a wonderful woman, and I know that only happens when they have good parenting.
Oh, thank you, Boyd smiled. And you must be Ada? Becca Bell has told me all about you.
All about me?
The succubus raised an eyebrow at the man.
Well, most about you. Carter filled me in on the rest when he came to my house and decided to spill the metaphorical beans about his double life.
Speaking of your house, the cleaner should be on his way there now. Give him about an hour and your home will look as good as new.
Oh, thank heavens.
Mr. Bartram sighed as he wiped his brow.
I was worried I was going to be a wanted man once people started to see the bodies on my lawn.
We've killed hundreds of people.
Naomi shrugged.
Yet the police are none the wiser. It's actually really easy to get away with murder, if you know what you're doing.
The color drained from Mr. Bartram's face as he mulled over the witch's words, but he soon shook it off.
I'm just happy your friend is willing to help.
You're quite welcome, Boyd.
Ada smiled.
With any luck, you can be back in your home by tomorrow morning.
Actually, Ada, he's not going home. Not right now, at least. Boyd and Becca are going to stay with us, since Keck has already attacked them in their home and will surely try again.
The more the merrier.
The succubus shrugged.
Don't worry, loves. I have plenty of space back at my place.
Did everything go okay with the realtor? I asked as I changed the subject. Did you find us a new expansion building, or did all those locations he showed you end up being duds?
Not duds, Carter.
Ada smirked.
They were all absolute gems. I could see us being successful in any of the three. So much so that, well, let's just say I went ahead and put in an offer on all of them.
You what?
Becca gasped as her eyes seemed to bulge out of her head.
I put in an offer on all three properties. Was I not supposed to do that?
I'm just thinking of how the math will work out.
Our accountant mumbled as she ran her fingers through her platinum blonde hair.
Especially with the new vehicles Carter just bought.
New vehicles?
Ada questioned as she looked over at me.
You bought new vehicles?
Yeah. A Lambo and a Ferrari.
Hot.
The succubus cooed.
And expensive, but no matter. We can make it work for sure.
I'm not sure about that one.
Becca sighed as she continued to calculate the numbers in her head.
Those properties were all in the hundreds of thousands of dollars range, and our profit margins were already fairly thin.
Don't worry about silly things like profit margins, love.
Ada scoffed with a wave of her hand.
I would pay for any of these properties out of pocket. And with how long I've been alive, my pockets are very deep. Think of this as my treat to Carter for helping me get what I wanted.
Get what you wanted?
I was the one that suggested the expansion.
Val pondered aloud as she rubbed her chin.
You were content just sitting on the two properties you already had.
I'm not talking about the expansion locations, love.
Ada said somewhat cryptically. Then she pursed her lips as a smile spread across her face, and for the first time, I saw actual tears fill the playful succubus's eyes. My heart stopped in my chest as the realization set in. Ada? I asked, as my body felt like it was on pins and needles. Are you trying to tell me that...
I am, love.
Ada giggled like a schoolgirl as tears streamed down her face.
Oh, my God!
Leah squealed, and she clapped her hands over her mouth.
I'm afraid I am very confused here,
Boyd said as he scratched his head and looked between everyone. What's
wrong with Ada?
Nothing is wrong with her. She's pregnant.
Fuck,
I breathed as I felt my own emotions start to get the better of me. You're sure? You really are pregnant?
I am, Carter.
Ada said with a longing sigh, and she placed a hand over her currently flat stomach.
I am with child.
A wave of raw emotions overtook me, and I started to hyperventilate as my eyes watered with happy tears. A baby! Ada and I were going to have a baby! I instantly ran over to the succubus, tossed my arms around her waist, and picked her up into the air. And the two of us cackled like hyenas as I held Ada in my arms and spun her around happily. Finally, when I placed her back on her feet, we were swarmed by the rest of our friends.
Congratulations, you two!
Leah declared as she threw her arms around us.
I knew if anyone would be able to give you a child, Ada, it would be Carter.
Indeed.
The succubus continued and wiped her damp cheeks.
And I am sure this will only be the first of many pregnancies in this room, given Carter's powerful werepanther seed.
We've been over this before, Ada.
Janine sighed and shook her head.
I'm on the pill, and Leah's got an IUD. I don't know about Naomi and Valerie, but we're not getting pregnant anytime soon.
We'll see about that, loves.
Ada winked.
Though I know I'm right.
This is incredible. I trailed off as the revelation continued to wash over me. I held Ada's tender face in my hands as I gently caressed her hair, and then I leaned in and gave her a long, intense kiss as I held her close to me. I could feel Ada's curvy body up against mine, and my heart swelled with pride as I thought about the baby that now resided in her womb.
I love you, Carter.
Ada smiled up at me.
There's nobody in the entire world I'd rather go through this with.
Me neither, Ada, I said, as I stared deeply into her emerald eyes. You've wanted this for so long, and I'm just glad I could help you achieve your goal of motherhood. Although this does mean you won't be able to come out on as many adventures with us. You know, safety issues and all that.
It's all right.
The succubus nodded.
There are plenty of ways I can help you from the comfort of Cincy's Jewel or my club, and I fully intend to keep helping you.
Really? I thought our partnership was mainly about you getting pregnant.
At the beginning, maybe. But as you've probably already guessed, I've grown very fond of you over the last few months. And I've grown fond of all your other lovers, too. I cannot imagine my life without you, Carter Hatfield. And I don't want our child to grow up without having their parents together.
Then we'll raise this child together, I promised, before I gave Ada a soft kiss on the forehead. As partners.
We already know we make a great team.
Ada sighed as she snuggled into me.
We all make a great team. And now that Daddy and I are with you, we're going to be an even better team. You know what they say.
Leah shrugged.
It takes a village to raise a kid. Well, you've got one here.
Aunt Val has a nice ring to it.
Naomi teased as she nudged Valerie.
Or maybe it'll be Auntie Snapper.
Funny.
Val rolled her eyes at the terrible joke.
What'll they call you, Aunt Witchy?
I hope so.
Naomi grinned. My friends and I continued to hang out in the boardroom for another hour or so as we talked about all the different exciting prospects that awaited us. We talked about Ada's pregnancy as well as the offers she'd put down on the potential expansion locations. All in all, things were looking up for Carter Hatfield. Eventually, though, the exhaustion of our adventure began to set in, and our conversation started to lull. One by one, the others left to head back to Ada's club so they could shower off the blood, guts, and sweat that covered their bodies and then go to bed. Even Ada decided to head out, and that just left Leah and I alone in the room. You need a ride back? I asked the Polywarm. I can totally take you in the Lambo.
I would love that,
Leah said, before her eyes looked down at the floor.
I wanted to stay behind for another reason, though, Carter.
Oh? I raised an eyebrow at the woman. What reason would that be?
I think I want what Ada has,
the blonde woman explained, as she looked up at me hesitantly and bit her lip.
I think I've changed my mind about motherhood, and I want you to be the one who helps me attain it.